Hey, it's your girl Jess B.
And it's your girl Vina Nung.
And you are now locked in with us, the Anti-Socialites.
So turn up the volume and just chill out.
Because each and every week,
we're coming with that real talk.
Conversations with Miami's business owners, artists, behind-the-scenes nightclub professionals.
As well as social activists, community leaders, and aspiring artists.
Real talk from two cool chicks curating Miami's cultures, arts, and lifestyles.
Miami, baby, baby.
What's up, what's up? You are tuned into the Anti-Socialites podcast. It's your girl, Jess V.
And it's your girl, Vina Nun.
And we are here, in effect, dose, yes. Both of us. Yes. We thought we'd come and give you some dope topics, some interesting, controversial talk that's happening in South Florida and around the world.
Literally.
Right. We just got off of a holiday weekend, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend.
Spent half of it in Miami.
Half of it on the West Coast, even though it was flipped because you're from the West Coast. Yeah. But, yeah, I went to Vegas. That was cool.
I was a little jelly.
Don't be jelly. It was fun. And then I road trip with my bestie to L.A. With the AOD Mondays. That was a
oh, yeah. How was that?
It was cool. It wasn't like, it's not Miami. They don't take their clothes off. Yeah. Nothing like that. And then what was really weird was that a couple minutes prior to closing, they like take your drink, like, and they make you pour your drinks out. I'm like, what? Like, that's a little weird.
Right, and it closes like before 2, right?
It depends on how lit the night is. Or okay. Maybe. So it closed at like 2 something, almost 3 o'clock. But around, I know for sure around 1:50. Like, I was like, wait, I got 9 minutes. Mm. You know, like, they have a bucket and they take your drink. Like, the security come, they take your drink and they pour it out. And I thought that was really, I was like, what are you doing? Like,
wow. I mean, I hear people, you know, the controversy is like, where is the best place to go for Memorial Day weekend? And, you know, when you left, everything was quiet, everything was cool. But then on Sunday night, things popped off out here where Urban Beach Week turned into, okay, here we go again, and some people died.
Yeah, well, I read up on that story, and basically, and then I seen somebody posting, like, always New Yorkers, but honestly,
it was
New Yorkers. The thing is, I mean, the argument was over a parking space, which I don't know about you, but I've almost gotten to real heated arguments with people, even at the mall, so I could see that having not escalating to the point where they use gun violence, but parking is a crucial, like, matter out here. Not to say you lose your life over it, but just say, like, that it could have happened anywhere. Right. It just so happens to have happened Memorial Day weekend, and unfortunately that has drawn a lot of controversy and people or city officials wanting to shut down that weekend, even though it's unofficial.
Right, and so what's interesting is I've talked to other people that don't really go near the beach, don't know what really goes on. And they thought that Urban Beach Week was an actual festival. Like, they thought, like, it was a holiday. The city attracts, you know, urban people to come. But what I tried to explain to them was Memorial Weekend has historically been a weekend that Black and brown people just like to, like, go because it's a 3-day weekend. They like to go travel, turn up. It's like the beginning of the summer. It kind of sets the tone. And Miami, for the last, I mean, since you've been here, I'm sure you've seen.
Honestly, I never had ends in, like, Memorial Day weekend. Like, I've never experienced it as a tourist. I might have went out one night or something, but I've never, like, had the whole Miami Memorial Day weekend experience. See, just did. Super turn up. Yeah. Like, I've been at events, but I haven't, like, spent the whole weekend on the beach and did that whole crazy thing. I've never done it.
My first year living out here, a bunch of my friends came and, like, we literally, like, stayed on the beach, went to, like, people's pool parties, mansion parties. It was lit. And the clubs, obviously, once you live here, you realize how much the clubs overcharge to get their money, how ridiculous it is. I mean, the dress code doesn't change. They still let anybody in as long as you got the money.
Right.
Now, the difference is you have an overabundance or more than normal amount of, you know, Black people, whatever, on the beach. And they're literally, like, dressed how they want. Like, I'm seeing it's getting worse and worse every year. And then, obviously, you know, Miami's liquor laws are a little bit more lenient. You can walk with
right.
alcohol, whatever. But the thing is that, like you said, the commissioner now is speaking out about it, Commissioner Greco. And he just posted today that he wants to, in addition to close clubs at 10 o'clock p.m., he That's wants to ridiculous. Limit alcohol consumption after a certain time, starting May 15th all the way to May 30th.
Okay. My only issue with that is, like, Urban Beach Week, whatever you want to call it, is one thing. But we have so many different festivals, so many different events that come down here. And people overdose. People kill each other. Shit happens. It's just not exploited. It's not exposed over the media. So it doesn't get the same attention. As soon before Urban Beach Week happens, there's 2 weeks of people talking shit about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And not wanting to make it, you know, something a little bit more... I don't know.
Welcoming.
Yeah, welcoming is a great word.
It's more like negative. Like, yeah, oh my God.
It's already negative. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be that way because, and look at this. The whole weekend, there wasn't that much trouble aside from the fact that people was being ratchet.
Yeah.
Which, spring breakers are ratchet all the fucking
time. Go to Daytona Beach and you'll see the other side of the coin. So, like, there's a documentary on Netflix that you should watch. Oh, well, you walked in, we were watching it. And it was showing what spring break has become in Florida from Daytona Beach. It came to Fort Lauderdale, but it's the white version of spring break and how MTV capitalized
Which
on it.
Which is probably even
they
worse.
They were worse than what I've seen on Urban Beach Week. Like, of course, the booty clapping, the girls, you know, drinking.
What do you think about it in Africa? They do all the
time. And, like, we go to strip clubs and we glorify it. Yeah. But then as soon as it comes out to public for one weekend, it's like, oh, no.
And everybody that comes to Miami wants to go to strip clubs. They want to go to King Dolls. They want to experience this thing. Even if they don't go to the black strip clubs, they go to the white strip clubs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, come on. Like, stop trying to deem it as such a bad thing. And I also read, I know Uncle Luke or Mayor Luke or whatever he want to call himself, the King of Miami, whatever. He made this post like 2 days ago, probably on Saturday, about how he wanted to make it an official weekend and they didn't. They like kind of like blackballed him or they said no.
He had it set up. Everything he had like
and
Diddy,
nobody worked. Nobody wanted to work with him.
He had performers scheduled. It was supposed to be Umama or something African festival, and it was going to be more organized chaos. Which I think like this is okay if you're gonna. First of all, if you're going to segregate the beach like you guys have done in the past and say, oh, alcohol can't be sold after a certain time, clubs have to close, then what happens to the economy in
Miami
Beach?
That's what I'm saying, the business. That's affected.
What happens to the people that make their living off the nightlife? So you're not only making it about black people, but you're also like, drive down Washington right now and all those businesses are already closed on the right side. Like, there are empty buildings, and there's not even lease signs on there. Like, not even for lease. I'm sure, like, there's no businesses there already. So then you want to crash the one business left that's on the beach that brings in money. But the other part, when you brought up Luke, he was saying how they're already, like, hotels and like food vendors and all that, they already treat those people like they don't want to serve them
but
when they come.
He also stated that, you know, when you think about Ultra Week or the Winter Music Conference, they have packages. They create these packages, clubs and hotels.
Oh, yeah.
They create something so that when people come down there, they are, you know, they get a discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of this week, something that they overcharge us.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm not even like, it's like another wake up call. Like, hey, why y'all keep giving y'all money to people that don't want y'all there?
Right.
And the main thing, I think TD Jake said this in an interview with Steve Harvey, go where you're celebrated.
Right.
If they don't want you here, don't try to force the issue. I think for a long time, African-Americans have been trying to force and say that they belong somewhere where people don't want them. Create your own way. Create your own way. Find somewhere else to party and make it just as good and fun and tell them to fuck off.
Right, because I mean, unfortunately, like, the hotel situation, it's unique on the beach to where, like, you have beaches like Virginia Key Beach that's historically black-owned beach. You have Hollover that welcomes, you know, all races, but because of where the hotel and the food is, it wouldn't be able to accommodate people coming like that of a South Beach. But like you said, if go where you're celebrated, if Miami Beach don't fuck with us, then let's go. But I feel like also that means they won. I honestly feel like the biggest promoters on the beach, the biggest club owners on the beach, And the people who run nightlife on the beach, whether they're black or white, need to come together and come up with a cohesive organization and say, look, you can't tell a certain group of people that they can't come. But what we can do is make sure that this weekend is more organized. Because what I think the issue is, and let me know if you agree, you on the beach all day for Memorial Day. Doing nothing. You're in the water. Okay. You're drinking all day. You go back to the hotel. You freshen up. You try to pick which club to go to. All of them are charging $100 to get in. Whether it be Story, Dream, Ivy, Live, whatever. They're all charging. Copa Room, Cameo, all of them are charging whatever. Say you can only afford to go out one night. So you choose your night to go, but then the other three, four nights, you can't afford. What else is there to do? Half of these people don't rent cars because there's no point. They don't leave the beach. Or they have their car. They don't want to leave the beach because obviously they see people congregating. So then what does that cause? It causes people to start trouble. You start congregating outside of these clubs. You start congregating outside these hotels, outside these businesses, and you're not doing nothing. So instead of closing shit down, offer a festival like Luke said, or offer something that's going to make people, like I said, organize chaos. Bring their attention to something else.
I mean, but that's, so they do have Memorial Day weekend events. It's just that only, I don't think people, because they don't have cars, they can't go to them. Like, Best of the Best is right there on the other side of the bridge, which is a reggae festival and a lot of American artists. And they have that, but people don't go. Or they do go, but only, it's mostly local people that know that this is about to happen. You have the comedy festival. There are other options, but then, like you said, the beach needs to create something that is welcoming, because all of those artists are there. They're chilling. They wait in to do stuff, but who's going to be that voice? I mean, if Luke can't get it done,
that's why I said the club owners, the biggest promoters, they all need to come together with the city commissioners and say, look, because we have other events off the beach, let's create bus tours that take these kids off the beach.
That's a good
idea. Or
let's
partner with these organizations that actually have things that aren't at night, or maybe are at night, but, you know, earlier in the night, not 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and say, these are your other options. Like you said, at Ultra, what do? They package things so that people have options, right? And that they could save their money and do multiple things. So do the same thing and offer it to the kids that come here.
However, the issue with, so when you see Ultra, it's a music festival and everybody's coming together and it's like the best of the best, right?
And after parties.
And after parties and all that cool stuff. But when you think of Miami Beach Week, every promoter is trying to get the most out of, the most dollar out of whoever's coming into town. Mm-hmm. And who's coming into town? Urban people. And they know, for some odd reason, we have this flaw and this problem of being super gullible and putting out money for things that are for show as opposed to things that are beneficial for us. So, like you said, you come out here this whole weekend, you're doing absolutely nothing. You're spending a lot of money to do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what we do as black people.
Change it
so
up.
Our mindsets have to change.
Right. But instead of saying we don't want you here, we're going to close the clubs at 10. We're going to make sure you can't, nobody sells you liquor after 10. That's putting a negative taste in people's mouth. Why don't you change the atmosphere so that it attracts the people? Those people that come right now that don't do nothing, start trouble, they're going to start going to other places because they're going to realize, oh, there ain't shit out there
for me. I think what they fail to realize is that not only black people or African-Americans or brown, whatever you want to call them, come during Memorial Day weekend.
Well, they tried to do that little air show. I caught some of it when I was on the beach. They had the planes and the military coming.
Yeah, the air show is, but it's every year. Here's the thing. If you close down the clubs and things at 10 p.m., what about the other people that just came down here that didn't even know that it was this weekend happening and they come down here? Like, there's still Caucasian people, there's still Europeans, there's still different types of people that come. So you're gonna sanction this for everybody? Like, I don't think you'll care about your economy.
They don't.
With all these condos that they're building, they don't give a fuck about us.
Yeah, no, the international market that's here doesn't incorporate black and brown people. If they do, it's the international, maybe, but it's not that. And I just think that instead of it just being like, this is what I'm gonna do and I don't care, if he was for the people, the commissioner, Greco, however the fuck you pronounce your name, if you're for the people, Draco, then you need to make sure that you reach out to these club people, these promoters, these party people, the people that actually are doing their business, you know, how they do it, and see what you can do to make it more inclusive rather than exclude a certain amount of, a certain type of people.
I mean,
because that's just ridiculous. Like, we're going back to when the beach, only black people could stay in Overtown and then perform on the beach, but then had to leave. Like, that's what it feels like.
Are we going to transition into another topic? Because clearly, all we know is that racism exists in all shapes and forms, and it all goes back to knowing economics and knowing your worth. But if you want to transition, we can transition to LeBron. Like,
oh, wow.
The irony in that, like, when you think about it, all of these things just keep flowing together. Like, LeBron is the god right now. He is the NBA. Everybody loves him. Like, he's the child, the NBA child. He's not MJ, but he is one of the greatest at the moment. And he's like, it's at the end of the day, I don't care how much money you have, it's really hard being an African-American in America.
And to think that, okay, this happened to this man, his LA home gets vandalized, is a clear hate crime. Regardless if, you know, people always try to justify why it happened. But at the end of the day, like you said, well, he said, it's hard to be an African-American in this day and age. We have a president who does not denounce hatred, racism. He doesn't even, the most hatred he spoke on is Judaism. And that's only because he has family that is Jewish, his wife's husband or whatever. And so he knows that Israel relations, like, they've asked him to denounce the hate towards, you know, Jewish people. But it's like, that's the only thing he'll go. That's as far as he'll go. And for LeBron to, you know, it doesn't matter what class you are, how much money you make. Nothing. It does not matter. At the end of the day, I think the black person is the most hated person in this whole entire world.
Especially, the irony in it, ain't nobody asked y'all to bring us over here. Like, y'all mad at us for being here. Y'all mad at us for what we are at this. And yet, and still, the reason we're here is because of you.
And the thing is, like, I watched today, Roland Martin argue with that yesterday. White supremacist.
I put it, it's all over my Instagram. Oh, no, well, I didn't I saw him on the Breakfast Club.
No, I saw him. There's this white supremacist that actually was on Charles Barkley's wannabe racist show on, he wants to go into communities and find out why people are racist. Charles Barkley.
Oh, wait, you know what? I had a whole conversation about this on, and we couldn't figure out, like, why is he sitting there taking it in? Like, I think some guy was, like, saying a whole bunch of racist stuff to him. He was just sitting there and just taking it, and we was just like, well,
so
what is the
that guy tried to challenge Roland Martin on Roland Martin's show. Roland Martin was like, you do understand that scientists have proven that man came from black. Like, you can only get white from black. You can't get black from white. And the first people were in Africa. And he goes, well, the Egyptians were white. And he was like, no, they're not. And so he starts showing him pictures. And he was like, you know who built the pyramids? He goes, white people built the pyramids. Black people didn't build. And I'm just like, there's people out there that literally have conditioned themselves to think that regardless of science, facts, history, any of that, this is what they believe.
Which is really fucked up, because when you think about it even more and more, going into another topic, but off topic, well, in topic. When I sent you the picture of the young lady who has the makeup artist made.
Oh, yeah.
Black. There is the way to make the human race become one race is to create, like, to kind of, like, phase us out. Mm-hmm. So how would you do that is by mixing, and I'm not against interracial babies or anything like that, but the more you mix, the more you mix, the more you mix, the more you take from one, and you create one type of species, mm-hmm. which is the way to kind of remove us from history. The only thing is, we've only been, Roland Martin said, we've only been free about 40 years.
Yeah.
In about 2 years, we'll be free for 40 years. Like, away from Jim Crow and all of those other things. It's like, everything is that is done in America is done to kind of, like, remove us or, like, make us disappear. Like,
am I listening right? You're saying that the more interracial, the more people get a race? Like, the one race gets a race?
They're trying to create one race
uh-huh.
instead of multiple races. Like, remember, right now everybody's, like, meshing. Everything's turning into one. So we'll be one species soon. And it started with, not to say, like, I'm not talking about interracial data. I'm just saying that it creates one type of race, which is to remove and to take away from what we are supposed to be, which is the strongest species.
Well, then I could say that on the other end, that white supremacist said the same thing. He said he feels, and I don't know if this is kind of what you're saying, he feels as though America, like the climate that Obama kind of created, mm-hmm. is that they're going to be the minority soon because everybody is mixing. And the white race itself is no longer going to be dominant because they're going to be mixed with everybody else's race. So is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, but there's extremists who believe the opposite, which is why they rather... They're scared of that, which is why they're trying to preserve that for the most part. However, they're using some are using it to stay or continue their lineage or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of fucked up how people think and like how we just can't exist and be our own thing instead of trying to erase one another's existence. Everybody brings something different to the table. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we don't like, America is our own enemies. We're our own enemies. And all we do is hate each other. Like, we don't fucking need terrorists. We don't need ISIS. We don't need none of that shit. Because within us, we hate each other so much that black people will always, unfortunately, will always be here. And white people will always be here. Because they've conditioned us mindful to hate each other. So then you're hating each other. Then you have white people that don't like you. Mm-hmm. You have other races that think less of us because they have put it in their minds as well to condition everybody to think that we are lesser. To the point where we even think we're lesser. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the most fucked up shit ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would think that with this new museum, Smithsonian Museum for African Americans, would kind of bring a new type of pride and joy from the history of where, you know, black people have come and where we're going. But it's still people mad about that. Like, there's been two nooses found in the segregation display in the past 2 weeks. And at first when I read it, I'm like, well, I would think a noose would be in there based on history. I'm like, okay, so well, did they take it out and just put it on the floor, or did they hang it up in, you know, in a derogatory way? But they're saying, I guess there aren't any nooses in there because it symbols, it's very symbolic to the bad, deep, dark side of Jim Crow and stuff. So apparently somebody's been, I don't know how, I didn't read totally on it.
And why can't nobody find... There's video footage.
I'm sure this is maybe an inside job. Maybe somebody that works there or whatever. Or maybe a tourist just dropped it. And I don't know. It's just weird to me. But to even fathom that would be a topic that we're discussing. Like, damn, y'all, we can't even have a museum.
40 years ago. But then when you think about a museum, like, think about the Yale or the Harvard students that was mad because they had the black students had a separate ceremony.
Oh, who was mad? The other Yale student?
It was a big deal, even though they had a ceremony all the time. It's just that, you know, like I said before, we got to go where we're celebrated. And sometimes if ain't nobody else going to celebrate you and your accomplishments, you got to celebrate yourself. The thing about it is once we start segregating ourselves, people want to deem us as being racist or, you know, having that different. And it's like, no, because of what we go through and have been going through for the past, 300 years, people don't realize that sometimes we just want to feel good about who we are because all that is talked about and everything that's associated with us is bad.
Right.
Even like the color black, the color is associated with darkness and evil when that's how people start thinking about themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand the separate ceremonies. I didn't know that was a history. Like, they've been doing that. There's this kid from the Bay Area, from Oakland, who graduated with like a 4 point whatever that got a full scholarship to Harvard or Yale. I could be wrong. But I follow him on Instagram because I always look at what he's doing at the school because it's like a feat for somebody like him to come out of Oakland, go to a school like that. And I always see he's very much surrounded by black brothers and sisters. And I think at a university like that, it has to be important to be able to study, live, cohabitate with like-minded people because those schools are so inbred in white history, Ivy League, like that. It's not very inclusive at all.
The world for us is not inclusive. I think here's the thing. Yesterday I was watching the interview on The Breakfast Club, and Ronald Mark, he was talking about how, you know, we only see entertainment and we only see athletes and things like that. But when you think about us and where we don't sit at the table, it's like hedge funding and investments. And we went to that climate change town hall meeting where there's a whole market out there, but you only know but so much. You know what I'm saying? So for us, if all we know is to be civil workers and social workers and be the middle class, we can't attain or we can't reach for more. And it kind of starts to define us. So when you do get that chance to go to Harvard, honestly, I don't think that you should only surround yourself around, you know, Black brother and sister. Yeah. I feel like you should reach out and go and meet, you know, and see how the rest of the world works and not judge them for it, but just have an understanding of how you can make a change and bring that back to Oakland. So with that young man, I really pray and hope that when he comes back and when he finishes his, you know, his terms there, that he does something in the community to expose other young men and little girls that, you know, we can do this. Because I think that's what's lacking in our communities, that nobody's going out and reach, like, once you're there, you're there. You know, you get accepted, you start sitting at that table with the folks, and then you kind of forget to come back and literally come back, not just give money, but, like, literally come back and build some
or
shit.
Or make a difference.
Yeah.
Educate. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I think that what you're saying is very important to come back. I just think that once, like, if thinking of somebody like him going to that school and surrounding himself with people, like, it's such a small percentage of the university that's even Black. I remember going to a Southern California college tour, and the group I was with were all Black and brown. And one of the questions we used to ask was, can you tell us the percentage of race and ethnicities at your school? And, like, UCLA has over 40,000 students, and they said, oh, 7% of our population is Black. I'm like, 7%? I go to UC Irvine, it's even less. It's 3%, and 50% Asian.
Well,
I'm like, whoa. And
who's the majority in over there?
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, I couldn't see myself going to a school coming from where I'm from that only has that percentage of Black people, because I would, like, I'm just not, I need more diversity. I need more culture. I need whatever. And so I think that's why when you go to an Ivy League school like that, where literally the percentage is so small, that you congregate with your people, you create.
Of course. I mean, I'm not saying not to. I'm just saying that if you're in that school, make sure you make the most of it. Like, yes, hang with your folks and hang with your people, but guess what? When you get out, like, we both went to HBCUs. Unfortunately, the world is not Black. The people that make them powers and the moves are not Black. So sometimes it does put you at a disadvantage because you're surrounded by what you're comfortable with, which is your people. But people with Ivy League or public schools that are predominantly white have, if they don't take advantage of it, but they have that ability to be around the way the world works. And that's what I'm saying. Make sure you stay with your Black, but you put yourself in situations where you can maneuver and understand the workings of America.
Right.
Not everywhere else, but America for sure, because it's not set up for us.
Right.
So if you know how they work and how they maneuver, you can at least put yourself in a position to move around correctly. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense, of course.
Sometimes I wish I went to a school with more white people, you know, like, or more Asian people. Like, yes, I know a lot of Caribbean people because I went to school in Miami, but what if I went to school with somebody that fucking built or knew how to code or had, or the dad was in investments and hedge funds and shit like that? It was like, you have a whole different perspective, a whole different look, and a whole different way to make money. And as Black people, we don't realize is, don't shit matter in America, but money.
Well,
power.
Unfortunately, like, I think it also depends on your HBCU, because now looking back, I wish that I would have tapped more into my HBCU's resources rather than, I was very caught up in the sports I was playing, rather than being caught up in the fact that, you know, the alumni chapter person is so connected in the city, and I wasn't thinking long term, I was thinking short term.
Me and you both.
Right. So I think that at HBCUs, you can still tap in, but because a lot of the times the university itself doesn't ingrain that in the students, like, you need to use us more than, you know, just don't just come here and get your education and dip. Like, you need to, they need to cultivate more into the students, like, you need to take from us rather than just, like, live your life, party, have fun, whatever. But,
the misconception of college.
Yeah, but you know,
I feel like college is practice, and unfortunately, because some of us are so excited to be away from home, and we just be like, oh, let me go to class, let me go to this party, let me do this. But applaud those who are at SGA and the PACs and those type of organizations, and as well as Greek organizations, but it's just be more mindful. This is the time for us to really make a difference and make changes. And, you know, it's only going to get harder after this.
Oh, yeah. Life does not get easier. It gets harder, especially when it comes to this job market. Just being able to understand financial systems and all of that. But, you know, this is the type of stuff that we talk about all day, every day.
We send text messages, yeah, and DMs. And
we're definitely more about, you know, cultivating knowledge and making sure that our community is more up to speed on things. I think living in Miami, we're at an advantage that we're, you know, in arm's length of so many cultures. But at the same time, we need to be mindful of what's really going on out here. So,
oh, stay woke.
Stay woke. Ah!